to display his glory to all nations. So the difference for humanity now is that God doesn't have just one people group before him. We're all scattered, his holy nation, all over the world. So I just thought it was important to distinguish that, so we know the difference between the time of Samuel and the time now. We left Judges last year, you might remember, when Israel had no king, and we heard at the end there that everyone did in Israel did what was right in his own eyes. So in this book called Samuel Now, God wants to reveal himself as the true king and the one who raises up the weak and crushes the proud. He is the holy God who has a holy nation. You also heard the other week that Hannah prays a prayer which gives us an overview of what will happen in the book. God will raise up a king and exalt the horn of his anointed. But then after that prayer, this beautiful prayer and prayer that we all can seek to imitate, Israel treated God as a thing by using the Ark of the Lord. Israel didn't win the battle against the Philistines because they committed idolatry with the Ark as their God. But the good response was that Israel did repent when Samuel told them to return to the Lord, which involved confessing, and they said, "We have sinned against the Lord." And then after that half-hearted repentance to put away the idols, the Philistines attacked Israel again, but the Lord this time goes out before his people to fight for them. And the Lord does lead his people to victory. So now we arrive at the story today knowing that. And here God reveals himself to be gracious and forgiving through what he's done here. So you might have been wondering as you heard the story that Jason read out today, that it seems a bit strange. The Lord God is king, yet Israel's elders asked Samuel for a king to judge us like all the other nations. So maybe you're thinking, is this an evil request? What they're asking. Another important question is, why does God say that Israel has rejected him? So throughout today, I'm also going to use the word judge. The meaning behind it that I want you to understand is a person who governs, rules, makes and implements decisions for the nation. So I'm going to go through some ideas throughout today. Our first idea is a people set apart to the nations, and then we're going to move into rejecting God as king, and then third one I'm going to move into is Israel want a king that will take and enslave them, and then finally the true king. So firstly, a people set apart to the nations. We know from the story that Israel wants a king who will judge like all the other nations. We heard that a couple of times. But why do they want that? Well, imagine, most of us would really have to imagine here, but imagine being told by the people you're governing or are managing, "You're old and your sons don't walk in your ways, therefore appoint a king to judge us like all the nations." I think it seems like a slap in the face. That's what I'm thinking as I read that. "You're not doing your job properly. You're not competent in what you are doing leading over us to judge us." But maybe we can understand that if sons are not obeying their father and are turning away to follow in another's footsteps for their own gain, then another ruler does seem fitting. If Samuel is at a stage that he is slower in making decisions, then a new ruler is sensible too. But that's not all the reasons, though. In verse 20, they say, "Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us and go out before us and fight our battles." Oh, I just think how saddening that comment must have been to God to hear them say this. God who's worked so much for his people, and they say this to him. Well, they don't say it to him, but they say this, their belief here. So I said at the start, though not exactly these words, but that the Lord gave victory to Israel. The words actually in the story, you might remember, he actually thundered against the Philistines and threw them into a panic, and Israel defeated them. The Lord here went out before them and he fought for them. The Lord led his people to victory, not them. But this isn't good enough for Israel. Israel wants a king who will judge like all the other nations." So as I thought reading this, I had a conviction of my own sinfulness here. I'm wondering if you have the same here as you hear what they're deciding to do. Israel here are not acting as the holy nation of God. The holiness of the nation is to be revealed in how they want God to rule over them. They are to be God's nation. And in Deuteronomy 7, many generations before Samuel, around the time of Moses, there's emphasis there for this, that God's people are to take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws God gave them through Moses. We do know that God's people are allowed to ask for a king, because also in Deuteronomy, in chapter 17, God says that when you, Israel, ask for a king over you to be like all the other nations around you, you may indeed set a king over you, but one whom the Lord your God will choose. So the problems with Israel are that they want to be like other nations. The elders of Israel don't say to Samuel, "Give us a king so that we can continue in our obedience to God. We want the Lord God as king, but having a human king will assist us in our obedience to God and holiness before him." They don't say that. They don't say any of that. Israel are not living as God's treasured possession. So, maybe an example of today. I have seen the holy nation of God forget their holiness. I remember a church that were more interested in hearing the preacher on a Sunday than God himself. God's words rarely be read aloud or told separately. I remember the church being influenced by this belief, which led to God's words being ignored, just shoved off, regarding the destructive effects of sin too often, way too often. God's treasured possession now, though, as I just gave an example there for the church, there are all those who love the Lord Jesus now. So in the first letter by the Apostle Peter, he writes to the exiles in different lands who are disciples of Jesus, one passage from the letter here. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." So the question for us to consider is, does our holiness reveal the praises of God who has called us out of darkness? Israel didn't do that here. We are to be a holy nation now. Do you want to be in the presence of God? Do I want to be in the presence of God one day? Well, we need to live now desiring him in holiness. God instructs us in how to be a holy nation and how to be holy. But what is the implication if we start living apart from God? Well, the second idea, rejecting God as king. So Israel has decided to not be holy, therefore they have rejected him as king. From verse 7, the rejection of God is seen in that they want a king to replace him as king. This is not explicitly said by Israel, but God says this is what Israel has done. So I think important ideas to reject here, so I'm going to explain it a little from my own example. I remembered this week, as God convicted me of my own sinfulness, of rejecting him. I turned away from him when I needed to consider how I could explain communion with God. The rejection is identified here from the Spirit because I wanted to be entertained by silly and foolish things over God's communion with us. I rejected his path for me. I decided that I deserved entertainment. Now, what I believe of God is, in this instance, is that he doesn't entertain me or satisfy me. Now, what I'm saying is not that we can't have entertainment or satisfaction, but it's every moment of every day, do we do things for ourselves or do we do things because we want to glorify Christ and we want his lordship to affect what we decide to do? In this instance, that wasn't happening. So we need every decision to be in Christ Jesus so that God is not rejected. God says to Samuel in verse 8, Since I brought Israel up out of Egypt until now, they have forsaken me and served other gods. So now they are doing the same to you. That's to Samuel. In rejection of God, we do serve other gods. We serve idols when we reject God, because only one God exists forever. So in my example here, the God I was serving was entertainment and foolishness. Do we believe we reject God? Do we believe that we serve other gods when we reject Him? I similarly have placed people above God in my life. I've believed opinions of people here in this church are more significant than God's at times. Israel did the same. They want a human king who they can see to fight their battles. They don't want an invisible God anymore. What Israel is doing now to God and rejecting Him is similar to how they treated God by using the Ark of the Lord recently. But on this occasion, Israel now wants a human king to replace God the king. Well, again, we have Peter, who does write to let us consider how to respond here. And he writes to God's holy nation again, how they can act towards the unseen God. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So the holy nation of God don't see Him yet, but we can love Him. The inexpressible and glorious joy is what I want to have because I've received salvation. Our God saves. So the third idea, Israel want a king who will take and enslave them. But Israel's king does take. He certainly does. God instructs Samuel to warn them solemnly and let them know what the king who will reign over them will do. In verse 9, Samuel does just that. This list might not seem to relate to life now, but when you consider the culture of the day, what the king is doing is evil. He is taking from the people for his own gain. Did you notice that this king will take Israel's sons? He will take their daughters. He will take a tenth of their grain, and the list goes on. As a summary idea, he takes strength, he takes beauty, he takes food and more. Samuel says that Israel will cry out to God one day after Israel is enslaved to the king. Does this seem like leaders today? Why will a king particularly take more for himself? Well, a king has the right to demand what he wants. We learn from Samuel that the king of Israel will claim these things as his rights. A king is to rule over his people, providing governance, and for this to be done, one expects that he will have control over things. But can a human king control without fault? I'm sure we know the answer. We know it's not possible. A human king will reveal darkness, because we have dark moments when we reject God's good way. Even after all of this, Israel doesn't want to change their minds. They cry no to Samuel, and they continue to want a king over them to judge them like all the other nations. Israel wants to be enslaved to a king. God has offered a path to freedom over here with Him, where all one day will be good and restored. But Israel wants less than that. They want a different path. Are we different in our hearts? Do we reveal to our God in our lives that we want to be enslaved to sin? We need a giving king, not a taking king. So getting towards my final idea, we do hear briefly, though Jason didn't read it out, the next couple of chapters of the first human king, King Saul. And he reveals at first that he is a humble man before God, but as we'll hear later on in the coming weeks, That doesn't continue. So, therefore, giving more emphasis to my final idea for King Jesus, the Son of God. One lived, died, and rose again to be the giving King over us, because he's not simply a man. He became a man, but he is more than a man. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn from the dead. He has supremacy over all. This king is not known for what he takes, but he is known for what he gives. We, like Israel, need a lasting king because we can't bring life to ourselves. We will reject God because that is what we do. But Jesus gives us life everlasting and forgiveness from our rejection of God. We have life everlasting with God because he brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light through Jesus. Do we worship God our Father for giving us King Jesus, a king after God's own heart? The Lord God had a greater plan for allowing Israel to have a king. That's why he allowed that. The Lord could have destroyed his people, but he revealed his love for them again because he would one day raise up the sacrificial king. Jesus Christ wants us as his holy nation now. King Jesus, the Son of God, asks that we will be holy so that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I'm repeating this phrase today because I really like the phrase. It's a reminder as we dwell on this phrase from today that it's from darkness. We're in darkness without him. He's brought us out of darkness into his light. So I say the question again, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light? We have only one answer for that. God our Father called us into his marvelous light through Jesus. See, having a king to judge us like all the nations shall be changed for us now to having the king, King Jesus, to judge distinctively to all the nations. We are God, our Father's holy children now. We are adopted to be his own possession. Do we want to be holy? Do we want to reject God and serve other gods, or reject sin and the false idols to serve the living God? Do we want to be enslaved to sin and leaders that won't give us eternal satisfaction, or become servants of Jesus Christ and have him who came to seek and save the lost and give up his life as a ransom for many? I'll take a few moments to ponder and then I'll pray to finish. Our Heavenly Father, you are the Holy God. You are the rock on which we can stand. Father, you have stayed faithful. Stayed faithful since these moments with Israel's life. Father, may we not be enslaved to sin. May we remember that you have raised us up so that we don't have to be enslaved to sin anymore. We don't have to be enslaved to anyone. We are your adopted children. Though we can think of our lives as you are a master and we are slaves, but it's definitely more than that. because you want us as your children. You want us as your holy nation now. Father, thank you that you don't take from us, but you give us more than we can imagine. We are not a king. You are not a king we deserve, Father. We deserve nothing from you. But I thank you, Father, that you have brought us out of darkness into your marvellous light. May we long for that eternal destiny with the light of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Henry.